You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi with the program to put some money where its fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. Let's get right down to business. We've got a full house on the program this evening. Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts, will join us on the show. Chris Meaney's going to join me in studio. Chris Meaney's a diehard Philadelphia Eagle fan. He loves the Philadelphia Eagles, so he's probably not going to be in the best of moods. And I don't think he was happy with some of my tweets yesterday. If it's any consolation, I did have Carson Wentz on my my playoff fantasy football team. He did put up massive numbers before he got hurt, but I lost a lot of money, man, because I put a lot of money on the Rams once Carson Wentz went down. But Jared Goff fumbled the football, and it was all over. But the crying has begun. It's official. Carson Wentz is out for the year. Carson Wentz out for the year. We'll get Chris Meaney's fan reaction. We'll get Chris Meaney's fantasy impact reaction as well. From a DFS perspective, and for you you lucky people that are still alive in the playoffs like I am not. God, it sucks, doesn't it? Like, it really, I won a lot of money yesterday in the National Football League. My picks were really good, but I lost a high-roll fantasy football matchup, and it's 1,000%. My fault. Like, it's not like, well, you know, the other guy had Antonio Brown. Like, you know, was it? It's like, no. I benched Dak Prescott. Yeah, like, I benched Dak Prescott and I started Matt Stafford in his place. Stafford didn't completely suck. But Dak, I lost by 8 points. The difference between Prescott and Stafford, more than 8 points. I single-handedly cost myself. I don't even want to tell you the other thing that I had on the same team. Like, I started Christian McCaffrey instead of Jonathan Stewart. Yeah, Stewart had 2 touchdowns. Was it 3? I stopped watching after the second one. Oh, first time in his career, McCormick's telling me on the other side of the glass. Yeah, that's great. First time in his career. So, yeah, his first time in his career. Dak Prescott has the best game since week 1 or 2. I'm laughing. It wasn't that high roll, but what sucks, I'm the commissioner, man. I don't know. Send me an email when you win, and I'll send you a transfer, all right? I better keep picking some winners. I better start buying some Bitcoin, man. All right, so, Chris Meaney's going to join us. We'll talk some fantasy football, Eagle football. Tony Cincata, speaking of fantasy, we'll talk some DFS with the Tony Cincata. We'll hit NFL DFS Monday, Thursday contest. So we got the Patriots and the Dolphins on the board this evening, and then the Colts and the Broncos on Thursday. For the love of God, evidently they don't do the flex thing anymore, right? The only thing that flexes in the National Football League is Ed Hockley's muscles. Nothing else flexes. They don't flex schedules anymore. If there was ever a year that you needed to flex things up, man, it's been this year, trust me. Okay, so Steve Merrill joins us. We'll talk a little NBA basketball. Tony Cincata, Chris Meaney, but let's get right down to business. Who ruined your Sunday? Well, you figure that I wouldn't start off with the Buffalo Bills ruining my Sunday, considering they won the football game, and this is how bad the AFC is right now. The Buffalo Bills are a playoff team. Like, the Buffalo Bills are in. If the playoffs started today, the Buffalo Bills are at Jacksonville, ironically enough, against Doug Marrone. And I used to think that Doug Marrone was a good coach, but I thought that his sidekick, Nate Hackett, was a complete dumbass, stupid moron. Okay? I'm starting to think that Nate Hackett actually wasn't all that bad compared to some of the clowns that we've had in Buffalo over the past couple of years. And it's hard to keep up. It's hard to keep up. From Greg Roman. And now who's the new dude we got? Rick Dennison. Rick Dennison's a moron. All right, and the only person that's a bigger moron than Rick Dennison is Buffalo Bill head coach Sean McDermott. Now, McDermott's doing good work. The Bills are 7-6. You look at the roster that they have. You know, people on the outside will say, "Wow, this guy's a miracle worker." Well, people on the outside don't watch every damn play like I do. And, you know, of course, now let's not forget, this is the same guy that benched Tyrod Taylor for Nate Peterman. Okay? In the middle of a playoff race. Now, I'm going to sit here right now and tell you, I'm a lifelong Buffalo Bill fan. The Bills wouldn't have beaten the Chargers anyways, even if Tyrod Taylor played. So I'm not going to hold it against them that we lost that game. He screwed up. He made a mistake. He tried to shake things up. It didn't work. As a degenerate gambler, I try to shake things up all the time, and it doesn't work. I get it. What I don't get is how the hell you got out-coached yesterday by Chuck Pagano, okay? Chuck Pagano, not the worst coach in the league. Maybe he is. I don't know. We'll talk about who the worst coach is maybe in a minute. But McDermott might be right there. Like, you know, as far as the preparation is concerned, okay. You know, McDermott, he's an intense guy. He's not a clown. You know, it's not a circus sideshow like it was with Rex Ryan. But you got outcoached by Chuck Pagano yesterday. Anybody that saw the game, you saw it was a freaking blizzard, all right? Nobody could see anything. It was like old school when you were a kid playing football in the snow type of stuff. You couldn't see a damn thing. So the Buffalo Bills kept moving the football. They give it to LeSean McCoy. LeSean McCoy would get it to, like, the Indianapolis Colts, you know, 35-yard line or so. And then it would be like a 3rd-and-2 and a 4th-and-2, and the Buffalo Bills would decide to go for it. And instead of running the football, they would try to throw a pass with Joe Webb or Nate Peterman and do something ridiculously stupid in a blizzard. Meanwhile, Chuck Pagano is punting and playing the field position game. Like, McDermott was getting out-coached by Chuck Pagano all game. Then there's 4 minutes left in overtime. Never mind the fact that the Buffalo Bills are damn lucky that the Colts had a penalty against them on the two-point convert that would have won the game, I might add. So there's 4 minutes left in overtime. The Buffalo Bills, it's tie game, obviously. There's 4 minutes left. It's 4th-and-1 on the Indianapolis Colts 41-yard line with 4 minutes left to go in overtime. Now, we've seen this movie before, haven't we, Bills fans? Remember last year, Rex Ryan kicked to the Dolphins. We never got the ball back, and we lost, and he said he'd do it over again, and that's why you're on ESPN now. Remember a couple of years ago when Doug Marrone punted from, like, the Miami Dolphins 31-yard line or something stupid like that? I don't know what it is. Like, do you guys get stupider when you get to Buffalo, or does Buffalo just hire stupid people? I'm not really sure. Like, is there something in the chicken wing sauce there? Like, what the hell, man? So he punts the ball. And then, of course, you know, the jackass announcer is playing it up like he's some sort of genius. Oh, you have to do this. And, oh, yeah. After they won the game, oh, it was brilliant, McDermott. He got criticized. You know, he got criticized at the time. But, you know, he knew exactly what he was doing. No, he didn't. Sean McDermott had no idea what he was doing. Sean McDermott's like a drunk guy that falls off a balcony but lands on his feet somehow. All right? And speaking of being drunk, like, you know, you make me want to drink, dude, like early on Sunday afternoons. I actually had chest pains. I've never been as mad as I was yesterday watching a Buffalo Bill game. You guys won, but you ruined my Sunday, man. Like, I swear to God, like, I really just want to punch you in the face. Like, what are you doing? The only reason we won that football game is because LeSean McCoy is a stud, and B, we were playing the Indianapolis Colts, who are that bad and, you know, that bad enough to actually manage to lose that game. You know, Buffalo Bill fans had a lot of fun in the snow. The biggest shock of the day yesterday was the fact that the Bills fans didn't storm the field and try to snort the snow on the field. Like, if you were a recovering cocaine addict, you couldn't watch that game. Like, no joke. Because not all snow looks like cocaine. And, like, I've never seen real cocaine in my life before, but I've seen it on TV. And but not all cocaine looks like snow. It looked like Scarface's, you know, coffee table, etc. Yeah, seriously, it was just pounds of crystal. I can imagine, I thought of that. I was, like, thinking of some poor bastard that's, like, trying to just watch a football game, and he's in rehab and stuff. And he's in rehab. He's like, I can't watch this anymore. It's like, you know, that's like if it's raining beer or something like that. And we all know, you know, the Bills fans, they'll snort and drink anything, all right? But, hey, the Bills are going to the playoffs as of right now. As of right now, I don't know who the quarterback is going to be next week. But, you know, McDermott, even though you won the game, you managed to ruin my freaking Sunday. You know what else ruined my Sunday? The L.A. Rams, man. I had big money on the Rams in that game yesterday. I also had big money on the over. Fortunately, we hit the in-game overs as well. But when Carson Wentz went down, we loaded up on the in-game. And if you're the Rams, you got to win that game. You got to win that game. You got to win that game for yourself, but you got to win that game when the you know, an MVP candidate like Carson Wentz gets injured. You know, Jared Goff played his ass off, and it was kind of bothering me during the game when Twitter would blow up every time Carson Wentz would complete a pass, and Jared Goff's going up and down the field, and there was no love for Goff on Twitter. But, you know, Carson Wentz is like the new J.J. Watt. He just is. He's that guy that everybody loves. You know, I'm surprised, right? I bet you right now in Philadelphia, like, the NBC affiliate's got a helicopter, like, over the hospital. Carson Wentz is in one of these rooms in that building beneath us, Chuck. You know, seriously, I guarantee you, in Philadelphia, there's probably, like, cameras outside. You know, he's like the new J.J. Watt. But nevertheless, the Rams, you guys are a really good football team. You got a ton of talent, but you're not quite ready for prime time. You're going to lose next week in Seattle. And you ruined my Sunday, or at least you partially ruined my Sunday. The Tennessee Titans, you guys didn't help my Sunday. One of my few losses yesterday. I killed it. Anyone who watched the plays, the video that we gave you right here on the Fantasy Sports Network knows we owned it. But the Titans, I ended up jumping in on the Titans, and it's pretty clear that this team's never going to win with Mike Mularkey as their head coach. I talk about Sean McDermott being a dumbass. Chuck Pagano is like one of the worst coaches in the league by far. Mike Mularkey might be the worst. Like, what's the point of having all these stud young players and stars if you've got an idiot coach? Like, I don't understand. Like, I get it as far as quarterbacks are concerned. And Marcus Mariota is a decent quarterback, but you got to do a hell of a lot better than 16-31 for $159 in a must-win game, bro. But we saw it last year with Jared Goff. Jared Goff sucked last year because Jeff Fisher was his coach. I'm not sure. How is Mike Mularkey making Marcus Mariota any better? How is Mike Mularkey going to take the Titans to the next level? You know, you've got all this talent on the Tennessee Titans, but you've got a moron in charge, and you're just going to continue to spin your freaking wheels as long as Mike Mularkey is the head coach. The Tennessee Titans ruined my Sunday. New York Giants, well, I'm a moron. You know, I don't even like the Capital City goofball. And when I'm talking about the Capital City goofball, I'm talking about Eli Manning. Let me show you this is my Eli Manning impression. Let me get a shot here. I can't really, like, do it enough where, you know, like, is there anyone, like, seriously? The New York Giants screwed over the Capital City goofball. I'm not even going to call him by his name. They screwed over goofball by screwing up because he had a 210-game consecutive streak going, okay? But that doesn't mean that he's any good. He's terrible. He's freaking terrible. I'd rather have the chick that his brother teabagged at quarterback than Eli, all right? Like, I'd rather have Peyton. You know what? I'd rather have Peyton. And you know what? I'd actually rather have Papa John himself. And Papa John, just saying, I actually ate a Papa John's last night. I know why they call it Papa John's. You eat it, and you're in the John pretty quickly right after the fact. Pretty much as quickly as you're broke after you put money on the New York Giants. I guess it's not all motor oil fault, huh? I got nicknames for everyone on the Giants. If you're wondering who motor oil is, that's McAdoo. Ben Motor Oil. I think it's what he used to slick his hair. He's actually an Uber driver now. If you didn't hear, he got a new job already. He's going to pick you up. He's working the lower Manhattan side of things. So, yeah, McAdoo's gone. Doesn't matter. Same old pile of crap. Capital City goofball, interceptions, three and outs, batted balls at the offensive line. You know, Eli Manning got screwed. He really did, but it doesn't mean that he's any good. The New York Giants, you ruined my Sunday. The Washington Redskins, you guys should just forfeit. Change your name and forfeit the rest of the season because you're an embarrassment. You ruined my Sunday. And finally, in closing, you know, You guys, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, you had the Pittsburgh Steelers on the ropes, man. I'm so sick of the Steelers and their crap-ass comebacks and stuff like that. And next week, I don't know who to take. They're playing the New England Patriots. I hate them both. I never used to be a Steeler hater, man. I used to like the Steelers. But they've just, I get screwed so much on their games. But I was on the Baltimore Ravens plus the points. But I had a plus 300 on the money line. And maybe, a Harbaugh, if you weren't stupid enough to let Big Bird throw the football. And I tell you what, if Big Bird from Sesame Street was a quarterback, he'd be Joe Flacco. That's Joe Flacco, Big Bird. He's just a stupid big giraffe, all right? I don't think he can complete passes because he can't see because of the damn unibrow. He's got like one big eyebrow that just sort of hovers over. I don't think he can see anything. Thanks, Flacco. That was a winnable game last night, man. And, you know, the Baltimore Ravens defense, you guys didn't help either. Make a damn stop. What is it about Pittsburgh? Like Pittsburgh, what, dropping Molly in the Gatorade? The other team's rolling over for the end of the games? I'm getting pretty sick of this crap. You know what? I won on the plus five, and I won on the over because I'm not damn good, but I could have won a plus 300 on the money line. If it wasn't for the L.A. Rams and that stupid fumble and the Baltimore Ravens stupidity, I probably would have won about $5,000, all right? But I didn't because of them. They ruined my Sunday. Who ruined yours?
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's bring in Steve Merrill. I don't know who ruined Steve's Sunday. I see Steve starting to heat up over the last couple of days with his best bets over at Covers Experts. Steve Merrill, coversexperts.com, prosportsinfo.com joins us, although I'm sure Steve, somebody grinded his gears. What's going on, Steve?
Yeah, 3-1 NFL Sunday. We hit our game of the month on the Carolina Panthers. They covered for 100% of the football game as an outright home underdog. Yet I still can come up with someone, and that would be the Green Bay Packers, as my only loss was the Cleveland Browns, who were up 21-7 in the fourth quarter as a 3-point home dog. And even in overtime, we were, you know, looking maybe probably most likely to win or a push, and they gave up a touchdown. So even a 3-1 day, you find something that sours you.
Yeah. I know. I don't want to be a jerk, but the Cleveland Browns, you know, Steve, you know what they say in this world, you get what you pay for, right? You know, you get what you pay for when you bet on the Cleveland Browns. It's funny because I had the Green Bay Packers in that game, and I was never panicked. I swear, like, at no point was I worried. You know, basically, there was one point where I got a little irritated with about 7 minutes left, but even then, I was like, nah, Cleveland will find a way. They'll find a way. And then, boom, it was the punt return. Trevor Davis, 65-yard punt return, put him in good field position. They ended up punching it in, and the interception. That was it. I mean, I don't think Cleveland's going to win a game now from here on out. I mean, coming into this weekend, Steve, you could have gotten the Browns to not win a game at plus 150.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I thought that was the spot for them to win as well, and that's why I ended up using them. The other two games, Panthers and Cardinals, went outright, and I had the over on the Sunday night game, 77 points. So, yeah, that would have been nice for them to hold on and win outright. It would have been the best Sunday in quite a while.
Yeah, I had the Ravens plus 300 on the money line in game, actually. It would have been real nice to hit. You got lucky in the Carolina game. I was on the Panthers, too. Like you said, they covered wire to wire, but they blow the lead. And yesterday, the NFL has sucked this year, Steve. But yesterday actually reminded me of the old days when the NFL was good, and it was like, oh, my God, this game is crazy, and that game is crazy all at once, and you don't really know what's going to happen. I had a bunch of bets going, Steve, and, you know, I had the Packers, and the Packers were losing late and then tied. I had the Bills, who were winning and then got scored on with, like, a minute left, and I basically had, like, three or four bets going on at once that were all tied with a couple of minutes left, and I was sitting there thinking, I could go 0-4, I could go 3-1, I could go 2-1. Like, I don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of minutes. That's the way the NFL used to be on NFL Bet Sundays. Recently, it's been pretty anticlimactic, but yesterday was a pretty electric day with crazy finishes for point spread finishes and totals and everything.
Yeah, and I mean, that Buffalo line was pretty much a solid three across the board, and there again goes into overtime. They win by six, so another tough loss for underdog bettors there. And, of course, all that snow, the total closed as low as 36.5 in some spots, which will be, I would assume, the lowest NFL total we'll see this season.
Yeah, it was free money. I got in at 38, and then when I started clicking, they moved it to 37.5 and then subsequently went down. For the record, speaking of that, I've been betting a long time, guys, and I'm so old, I remember when they created second-half betting. All right, second-half betting wasn't around all the time. So I swear, I remember sitting in Champ Sports Bar in Montreal probably about 1987 or so, and some bookie looked over and he said, "Morency, I got second-half numbers now." I said, "What?" He goes, "Yeah, just think of it like a game." Like, he explained it like it was new. He goes, "It's just like the game. Forget about the score. It's whatever happens in the second half." And I think I lost, like, you know, $4,000 that day. I was like, "Oh, why are you? Really?" Took me a little while to figure out the nuances of second half betting. But 14 yesterday was the second half total in that Bills-Colts game. I've never seen a second half total that low, Steve. 14 points in any sport, like in any league, like college or anything. I've never seen a total of 14 points and a half before.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, if they kick extra points in overtime, which they don't, of course, they do it at the end of regulation with no time remaining. So why don't they do it in overtime? Makes no sense. But regardless, it would have been 14 because of the overtime touchdown, which would have been an unbelievably bad beat.
Yeah, it was weird yesterday because there was so much snow. You didn't know if they were going to try to kick extra points. The Colts actually nearly won the game, Steve. They scored a touchdown and it went for two with like a minute left. And they actually got the two rather easily. but I don't know. There was like too many men in a huddle or something. It was one of these weird deals. The Bills started freaking out about something. And after it took like 2 minutes. And the ref said, yeah, you guys are right. There were too many men in the huddle. It was some sort of weird deal. So anyways, ugly game tonight. A lot of people are trying to make a case for the Dolphins tonight. Patriots have rattled off 8 straight wins, including a 35-17 win against the Dolphins a few weeks ago. You know, we all know about Miami in prime time, man. They've been an embarrassment those 3 games in a row, 112-45 this year. They're 1-7 in prime time games the last 8 games. Tom Brady, 11 touchdown passes, 1 interception his last 4 games against Miami. Jay Cutler's never beaten the New England Patriots in his career before. Can you make an argument for a Miami Dolphin team? They did win last week, but the Dolphins are pretty big quitters.
Well, yeah, technically, actually, they're still alive at 5-7, but they're not a good 5-7 team. I mean, they probably should be 3-9 would be a more accurate record. But the fact that they are still alive at 5-7, I don't think they're going to quit. But yeah, what concerns me here is that New England never lets up in these divisional games. You know, they have a history of routing these teams. Last week at Buffalo, they win by 20. They beat Miami by 18 just 2 weeks ago. On the surface, Gabe, there's a lot of technicals and situational aspects that point to Miami. I mean, first of all, Dolphins have been much better at home than they have on the road this year. Their home-road dichotomy has been pretty extreme.
Yep.
Also, as I mentioned, they just played 2 weeks ago, so it's a quick revenge blowout situation. And New England, even though it's a Monday night divisional game, just beat them easily, and they have a huge game at Pittsburgh next Sunday on a short week. So I think for a few reasons there you can make a case.
And Rob Gronkowski's out too. Rob Gronkowski's suspended.
And the line's dropped from like 12 to 10.5 because of that, I think. And, you know, double-digit home dogs historically have covered in the NFL, but we are, of course, in a different NFL nowadays where teams win by margin a lot easier.
The Dolphins have played them tough in Miami. That's the key, in Miami. Although last year they lost 35-14. So, you know, basically they beat them 20-10 a couple of years ago. And that's when we say they played them tough. I can't make a case for the Miami Dolphins here, though. Like you said, on paper and technically, maybe, I still think that's a leap of faith. As we mentioned, Miami just get killed on primetime television all the time. We mentioned, you know, it was 3 straight games that were on primetime earlier this year. They got smoked in every one of them. I mean, like, embarrassed. And they just don't show any pride. And like you said, Steve, they're 5-7. They know they're not going to the playoffs. They don't have a hope in hell in going to the playoffs. So they lost 45-21. They lost by 24 points against Carolina. And they lost the Baltimore game 40-0. The 27-24 loss to the Raiders in prime time. Yeah, you beat the Denver Broncos last week. But to me, I'm going to buy it a half point, get it down to 10, hope for the best. I hate both teams. I really do. Like, I don't like either team, Steve. I'm a Bills fan. I find both teams and franchises to be very annoying.
Yeah, and you look at, I mean, the Dolphins' two recent wins over the past month and a half have been Denver and the New York Jets. I mean, they came from behind to beat Atlanta back in mid-October, and that's when people started to take them serious, but they've been a phony team all year. And what does concern me is when stepping up in class, as you mentioned, 40-point loss against Baltimore, 24-point loss against Carolina, 18-point loss against New England. They've obviously struggled against better teams.
So what's your pick, Steve?
Well, I mean, I think if you're going to play it, you probably look at the big dog just from a technical perspective. But, yeah, this isn't like my game of the month like the Panthers yesterday.
One thing I will state, I think it goes over the number. 35-17 last time they played, so they got to 52. The last three times they played, it's gone over this number, actually. 35-17, 35-14, 31-24. None of those games. So, basically, Steve, as you stated, technically, all right, you could argue, is this a 31-24 style game, or is this one of those 35-14 games? Because it's one or the other. You know what I'm saying? I doubt it's not going to be a 10-0 Patriots win tonight. You know, Brady's going to put numbers up, you know, so do they win 35-28 or they win 35-14? I sort of lean 35-14, but I do think we can get there and it can get over the number, but it's up to 48.5 now.
Well, I mean, I think with you know, with Wentz being hurt for Philadelphia now, the Patriots definitely look like the team to beat for the Super Bowl title. I mean, I thought the Eagles and Patriots were probably the two best teams going into this week. But New England is very suspect on defense. They do this year after year, though. They have that bend but don't break. You know, their statistics never look good, but they don't give up many points, and that's what matters. They give up only 13 points a game on the road, 18.5 overall. But then you look at their yardage numbers. They give up 6.1 yards per play, which is a bad number against teams that average just 5.6. They give up over 5 yards per carry. You know, so they are vulnerable, I think, defensively. The problem is the Dolphins are one of the worst offensive teams in the league. So it's a tough call. I mean, if anything, maybe the Patriot team total over might be the safest play.
All right, and before we get you out of here, you got another Boston team. So you got, like, Boston bookies tonight. They're going to be taking a lot of action, Steve. It's going to be big trouble for them with the Patriots cover and the Celtics cover. But you're talking about, you know, the trends and the technical angle. You make a case for Miami. Similar situation in this tonight. The Boston Celtics, it's hard to say, all right, I want to take a Chicago Bull team who's won 5 games out of 25 this year against the Boston Celtic team that's 23-5. But the Boston Celtics were in San Antonio on Friday night, played Detroit last night, revenge spot, beat the Pistons. Now they're going back-to-back against the Bulls. And, yeah, the Bulls are terrible, but they're actually starting to show a little life right now. Chris Dunn's playing some good basketball. You know, they're getting healthier. Miritich is back. They're getting punched in the face by Portis. It's one of these ugly dogs that you got to grin and bear it, but I did it with the Mavericks the other night against the Celtics and covered the number. Technically, I tell you, the Bulls are the play tonight. I just don't have the courage to do it.
Yeah, I mean, the public will be on the Celtics. It looks like the sharp money is on the Bulls, so that is the correct side to be on here. This Chicago team won only 3 of their first 23 games, but like you said, they've gone 2-0 their last two since. By the way, they got playoff revenge, Gabe. They lost the playoff matchup last year, but it just shows what a different Chicago Bull franchise it is this season.
I can't believe they're actually 5-20 that it fell apart this much. Celtics have won seven of their last 9 games. You know, tough spot, though. San Antonio Friday, Detroit on Sunday, now Chicago. Bulls probably lose the game, but down to 6.5 right now. Be careful with this game, guys. All right, thanks for joining us, Steve.
Thanks, kid.
All right, Steve Merrill. We're just going to take a quick break. Chris Meany's going to join us in studio.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Game Time Decisions on a Fantasy Sports Network continues. We welcome Chris Meany into the studio as it's a tough day. For Chris, and you know, it was bad timing for me yesterday because I started squawking about everyone praising Carson Wentz on Twitter,
and then like seconds.
And
later
I think you
might
have thought I was specifically talking about you, but it was everybody. Like you said, it's not just my entire timeline.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all Twitter was. They could just rename Twitter like you know, Witter yesterday. Like that's all it was. This guy's so great, better than Joe Montana,
ooh,
Tom Brady, who. 6 MVPs, give him the MVP right now. And I'm just like, oh, God. Like, I'm like, make it stop, man. You know, the
and then it did.
And all the hashtags of trust the process and Eagles and Sixers. I was like, it's like, God, like, it was really just sort of making me like, you guys are really too much. Like, where's the tweets for Jared Goff? He's going up and down the field, right?
But everything on that offense runs through Gurley.
And then, boom, literally you can't make this up. So I tweet this. I said, all these Eagle fans need to chill out, man, all right? I said, Wentz, it's like J.J. Watt. They just praise him. And then about 2 minutes later, I get a tweet from me. Well, you won't have to worry about that anymore. He's out.
Well, you don't. But do you not agree that, like, the second that he threw that fourth passing touchdown in L.A. against a team that only allowed 14 points per game, that he was not the MVP favorite, seeing what Russell Wilson was doing in Jacksonville?
No, I know. Well, you got Tom Brady.
And, yeah, I mean, you always have Tom Brady. But I came on this very show before the season started, and we sat here and we said that the Eagles were maybe a 7-win team. Maybe. And we're talking about them having the best record in the NFL.
I know, but now we're going to hear Eagle fans going to use this. We would have won the Super Bowl if not.
I don't think everyone's alike. I mean, you get your lunatic Eagles That's fans. True. Like, I'm a huge Eagles fan.
You are.
I would never say
you're
that
you're also a Montreal Canadiens fan. What I find interesting, I see a lot of similarities between the fan bases. Getting to know the Philadelphia fans like I'm starting to right now.
Yeah.
I do shows with them every night. Like, I know them inside out. I pissed off, like, an Eagle fan yesterday before the game because I didn't say they were winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
He was mad that I picked the Rams in the game. But I noticed that the Eagle, Philadelphia sports fans, Eagle fans, used to generally be very negative. Mm-hmm. Something's going to go wrong, and you know what I mean?
Because everything always goes wrong.
And something does. Yeah, yeah. But recently there's a newfound arrogance about it with the trust the process stuff and Embiid, and we're so great, and Carson Wentz is the MVP. And I sent you an article that was in Deadspin last week.
Yeah, but the Phillies, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't speak to the 76ers and the Phillies.
It was just a list, though, of like, tweets. And the guy, you know, I'm not saying he's better than Brady, but he'll win two Super Bowls once. Like, people just sort of, but they'll turn real fast as well. And it's sort of like the Montreal Canadian fans, in which, with Carey Price. When Carey Price isn't there, everyone sucks. The coaches suck. The team sucks. Carey Price is there, and then suddenly, I don't know, man, maybe we could win the cup. Eh? You know, it turns into that.
I mean, I can't speak to
It's a passionate fan base.
Sure, it is.
It's a lunatic fringe fan base.
I think you get that with a lot of different fan bases, though. Like, it's not just Philly and Montreal. I mean, how many Habs fans do you know that like the Eagles? I mean, am I the only one? I mean, I'm not a 76ers fan, so I can't speak to them and trust the process.
Look at Leaf fans. They're not that rabid.
No, man. Like, Leaf fans are pretty out there. They're pretty crazy. You go look at, like, a couple years
ago. They're not overly
arrogant
right now.
I mean, do you remember when the Leafs were playing the Bruins in the first round of the playoffs and they were up 4-1? The Leafs broadcast was talking about the next round of the playoffs against the Rangers. The Leafs broadcast.
Well, it was 8 minutes left. Like, most teams
wouldn't
blow
that. I've seen you come in here before and talk about the Bills having a chance, and then the next week they have absolutely no chance. You probably think they have a chance again.
Yeah, I'm on the fence.
See what I mean? And then
I'm on the fence despite the stupidity.
I think you nailed it when you said it's a very emotional fan base.
Yeah. Philly guys are very emotional. So is Montreal.
There's a very passionate.
There's a correlation. A lot of Italian people and a lot of mobsters.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree with that. And I'll be honest, like, with Carson Wentz, if Carson Wentz never got hurt and they won that game I've said this to you before. Man, if they have to go into Minnesota, that's going to be a really tough ball game for them to win. I mean, we're sitting here in a situation where it could be Foles and Keenum with byes.
Wow.
While Breeze, Rodgers,
so that's the thing,
Cam, and Goff are
We've talked about it where everything was going so well for you and poorly for everyone else.
But
Aaron Rodgers was kicking ass early. It was like, these guys are good this year. Boom, he gets hurt. Elliott gets suspended. Cowboys fall apart. Seattle.
You mentioned Zeke.
Yeah. Seattle loses the Legion of Boom. Sherman, Thomas, just constant injuries.
Yeah.
Chaos around the NFC on a weekly basis. The Buccaneers implode.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're supposed to be a decent team. The Atlanta Falcons sort of struggle with Sarkisian early.
Kamara gets knocked out of the game on Thursday. They lose that football game.
Everything's going their way, except now it's like, God damn, we just lost them. And it's like, oh, God, they're getting Aaron Rodgers back this week.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing, like, the pendulum. And if you're the Rams, you win this game, you lose this game, you win the game, you're in the playoffs. You lose this game, you're going to Seattle this week.
Yeah. tough.
You lose this, suddenly you're in a two-game losing streak. As crazy as it sounds, as good as life was for the Saints,
yeah.
They play the Falcons again. Let's say the Falcons beat them and win out the Falcons. Hey, Saints, we own the tiebreaker. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
We're in. You're out.
That's what I mean. It's like it's crazy how things – and really, yeah. All these injuries were just opening up a door for the Patriots. It was the Patriots.
Just gave it to them. So as far as you guys with Foles, I'm not giving up on you.
Right.
And that was a hell of a gutsy win yesterday, digging down deep.
Yeah.
I didn't see anybody – everybody was sort of shocked when Wentz went out. But I noticed on the sidelines, guys were laughing. Guys were high-fiving.
Yeah,
that's a collective team where it's next man up. And I think that's the way that they approach this. Without a doubt, Carson Wentz is a superstar. Man, the dynamic that he brings to the pocket and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you put Nick Foles on the Arizona Cardinals now, you put Nick Foles on the Cleveland Browns right now,
yeah,
he's not going to do very well.
Right.
You put Nick Foles with Jay Ajayi, LeGarrette Blount, a top-notch offensive line, Nelson Aguilar, Zach Ertz,
Jeffrey,
and Alshon Jeffrey. He'll be just fine.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to sit here and say that they're – I don't think that they're Super Bowl contenders, but I think that they can win a game.
Well, why not? Look, Case Keenum is with Minnesota.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And that's what I was, like, laughing and joking when you see Keenum and Foles have these byes and Rodgers and Breeze and Cam Newton and Ryan and Goff all fighting for it. But wouldn't you pick the Packers against the Eagles in the second round?
Dude, if
it was Rodgers and
– If the Packers – if the Packers get into the playoffs, they're going all the way.
I agree. I think it's a good spot to jump on them right now.
They're 22-1 to win the NFC.
I know. I like that, too.
You know what the problem is? Their schedule.
It's tough. It's really tough.
And your schedule is easy.
I agree with you in Foles. I mean, you go back to the 2013 season. He had a lot of weapons around him. 27 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions. He controls the clock. He's smart. He doesn't turn the ball over. He's got a good. He's got a decent defense
at the
and a
Giants,
good run game.
At Giants this week.
Yeah.
Host the Raiders on
Raiders,
Christmas night.
And then the Cowboys. They just need to win one to get the bye and win two or have Minnesota lose one.
You're guaranteed to win two,
to
I
get
think.
The home
I think
field.
You win all three.
So the bye would be there and the home field would be there.
Jim Schwartz is a nut job, bro. He's Wentz is out. It doesn't affect him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like everyone else, LeGarrette Blount's been around. Like there's guys.
There are guys.
I like how you handled this. And I think Nick Foles, he's been in this exact situation before.
The exact same situation when Vic got hurt. Yeah, it was the exact same situation. I mean, I think he's fine. I think he's one of the better backups and probably better than what some teams throw out there right now.
Fantasy impacts?
Not really.
For everyone else?
It's tough. I got a lot of questions today about that. I've been telling people, go to Bortles. Like, people lost Wentz and people lost McCown and there's no other options for him. I'm saying, go to Bortles.
But see, this isn't a case.
Jimmy Garoppolo.
It's not like I got screwed and I lost a lot of money in my leagues because Aaron Rodgers got hurt and I had Jordy Nelson.
Yeah.
Jordy Nelson fell off the face of the earth.
Absolutely, yeah.
Devontae Adams didn't.
Yeah.
He did. But with Nick Foles as QB, Jeffrey and Aguilar aren't falling off the face of the earth. Are they changing the offense? No.
No, they're not going to change the offense. And Doug Peterson came out today and said he's going to continue to be aggressive. And that's exactly what we saw yesterday, how aggressive he was.
You know where it hurts, though, is just that Wentz Wentz extends plays, and he's next to impossible to take down.
Yeah, he extends. He
now falls when the pocket collapses. He's either got to throw it away or he's going to get sacked.
Yeah, exactly. I think if it hurts anybody the most, I would say Aguilar.
So now you're saying you don't think the Eagles are going to the Super Bowl.
No, I never thought
but
that anyway.
You never thought that.
I never thought that anyway.
They could, though.
Sure. Sure they could.
So
absolutely.
Who would you say if not them?
Well, I agree with the Packers. I think the Packers, if they get in, they're the team that I would pick. Because, I mean, you put Rodgers on that team, they beat anybody. But I still think the Saints are a pretty complete football team, a team that likes to run the football and they can run it well.
You know what would be crazy, and I'm not writing them off, is the Falcons.
Yeah.
Did you know last year the Falcons had the exact same record at 7-5?
This is when they turned it on.
Like I don't know. Everyone's memory is like, no, they were 14-1. It's like, no, they were 7-5.
This is when they turned it
on. And they ran the table and they finished 11-5.
Because they lost a lot of mediocre teams last year.
If you're the Falcons, you're 8-5 right now. You're like, hey, we're in this. Life's good.
Absolutely.
And they got a little grin at Wentz.
The NFC is absolutely. The NFC is wide open.
All right, we got to get out of here. My condolences.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Let's welcome in the man himself, the, and you got to be big time to have the, like either like the real or the, you know, it's like the Ohio State, the Tony Cincata joins us. What's up, Tony?
Oh, I'm looking at this Monday-Thursday matchup, and it looks like there's only one quarterback to play. And, of course, it's Tom Brady, so it'll be on like 83%. So I'm trying to figure out if I was to go with one of them, I think I got to go in the same game. And if I was going to try to go somewhere else to try to be contrarian, a little Jay Cutler action, and that'll make your stomach queasy on a Monday night.
Yeah, I was looking from a betting perspective, and I look forward to your take on this game from a DFS perspective so I can correlate it into my prop bets. Jay Cutler's 234.5 passing yards, Tony. You know, I think the Army quarterback throws for 230. Like 234, 234 in an NFL game is very, very attainable. Yet I looked at he doesn't do it often, Tony. It's no lock that he's going to get there.
No, if you look at it, he did 235 against Denver, which is very stout defense. The game he got hurt there, Tampa 83, but a 213, a 311, a 138, a 151, a 92, a 164. Yeah, it's been tough. But what you got to hope for tonight is the New England Patriots, though. Get out to a lead, and then he has to throw the ball continuously.
Yeah, exactly. You know, one prop that I did take a look at, and what's your take on this guy from a DFS perspective? The over-under in the betting world is 5.5, but Jarvis Landry, he's got at least 5 catches in every game this year. That's unbelievable, Tony, isn't it?
Yeah,
so at least 5 catches in every football game, including 8 for 70 yards just a couple of weeks ago. He was aided. I think he was only targeted 9 times, and he caught 8 of them. So clearly, Cutler is on the same page with Landry.
Yeah, in that game against New England, 8 of 9, 70 yards on that one, and 15 fantasy points. Here's what happened. They mic'd Bill Belichick that last game, and Belichick the whole time is going, "Where's Jarvis Landry?" And he was looking out for him. He was the only guy mentioned by name on that Miami Dolphins roster, and they still couldn't stop him. He got 8 out of 9 there. So I think he's as safe as things can be. And I like Kenny Stills tonight. I think the Miami Dolphins might be able to move the ball a little.
Yeah, it's funny you bring up Kenny Stills. He's put up some nice numbers, hasn't he? Kind of a sneaky player tonight. Kenny Stills, 278 yards, Tony, and 2 touchdowns in their last 2 home games.
He was talking trash when they were playing New England. Like, he was getting up in their faces. And I'm like, who the hell is Kenny Stills? But I kind of like that. He only caught 3 balls for 47 yards, 7.7 fantasy points. But then he went up against a good Denver defense. He was targeted 13 times in that game. He's definitely supplanted Devontae Parker, and I like him a lot tonight.
Yeah, Parker's just sort of, you know, Parker's faded here. You're right. Landry and Stills are the guys. I was looking at Stills, too. You think he gets more than 52.5 yards?
It's going to be right around there.
I know.
That's why they're so good there. You know what? I think I'd go over the 52. If New England can move the ball tonight, they get Hogan back in that lineup. Of course, they lose Rob Gronkowski. But if they can score some points tonight, I think they go over it.
Yeah, Tom Brady, how about this, guys? If you're wondering, how's he do against Miami? The last 4 games against the Miami Dolphins, Tom Brady's got 11 touchdown passes and 1 interception.
Yeah, he only had 227, though, in the last game 2 weeks ago. They won by 18, 35-17 in that one. 18 for 28, but he threw for 4 touchdown passes.
What do you do with the Thursday? We stack up tonight, so what do you
– Yeah, the only guy that comes out to me that I really like is Demaryius Thomas. You saw him for the first time get on the same page with Trevor Siemian. Indianapolis is a 25th in the league at allowing points to wide receivers. The guy that on the other side, T.Y. Hilton, I don't like him. I don't like the Indianapolis side. The Denver defense went back to playing a great ball. And when you look at the talent, they have the talent there. They should be able to shut down this Denver running game. So for me, it's T.Y. Hilton's going to be a guy I'm not going to play. Demaryius Thomas is in my lineup today. And if you wanted to go outside the box, I would go with Frank Gore over C.J. Anderson in that game. You know, everybody expects Frank Gore to be done. But when you look at Frank Gore, he's actually putting together a little run here at the end of the season. Frank Gore had 130 yards in the game yesterday. The week before that, he had 60 yards, but 4.7 yards per carry. They just didn't give him the ball. He had a touchdown against Tennessee the week before that. So he's still an old guy, but he's putting up there, and he's making his case for the Hall of Fame.
Tony, unfortunately, we got 2 minutes. Me and my big mouth, I had a 16-minute who ruined your Sunday to start the show. So NBA basketball tonight, we can now confirm Kyrie Irving's out tonight. Yep. So Irving's out tonight. What's your take on that, the domino effect from that? And I tell you, from a betting perspective, Chicago have been playing some better basketball. And from a DFS perspective, how about Chris Dunn during this little run right now? Starting to come into his own with the Bulls, Tony. Averaging over 17 points a game. I like the way Dunn's playing.
I had Chris Dunn in my lineup before that news came out, so he's in there. I think this opens up for Marcus Smart tonight, too. Marcus Smart was a guy that was right on the edge to me about getting him moving in my lineup. He'll get some uptake in minutes. As long as he can stay out of foul trouble, he's an aggressive guy and sometimes gets himself in foul trouble. So those are the two guys I think benefit most out of Al Horford. And watch out for that at game time. Al Horford's questionable as well.
Hey, my boy Kyle Lowry doesn't get a lot of love, but he's putting up numbers. He's doing his thing right now. He's in a little consistent zone, isn't he?
He started out slow the first 2 weeks, and now he's putting together double-doubles each and every night.
Yeah.
And he's Kyle Lowry. He's absolutely getting it done. And I'll tell you what, Toronto's looking good, but they play too much, too good defense there, killing us fantasy owners.
I know. You know what? He's hit at least 5 times his value in 9 of his last 11 games, Kyle Lowry has.
Yeah, one of those things is when a guy starts out slow, he jacks down the price about $2,000. So he's about a little underpriced, probably about $1,400-$1,500 underpriced right now.
That's the thing with both him and DeRozan, and I'm a diehard Raptor fan. You're not getting a ton of upside. You know, they're not going to go off. You're not getting that 78, 82-point DK night. But they're so freaking consistent, Tony. You know, you just plug it in. You know, and DeRozan's starting to add that three ball to his repertoire a little bit too now.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting with that Celtics thing. I'm interested to see who they announce in their starting lineup because Terry Rozier is another guy. When he gets a little shot, he puts up some big points every once in a while. And if he's going to get more playing time in tonight's game, he'd be interesting at a minimal salary for people.
All right, we got to get out of here, unfortunately, already. How about Rondo tonight, $5,800?
I like DeMarcus Cousins in that game, of course, in that matchup. I like on the Houston side Chris Paul a lot tonight. Rondo's up and down. He's up and down. He can get you 40. He can get you 10.
I know, but it's a high-score game. And I tell you what, we got to get out of here. It sucks. And we'll get you on later in the week. We'll talk more ball, but it sucks because everyone's like, oh, Chris Paul's not going to fit with the Rockets. Yeah, they're 10-0 since he's been there. He's draining threes. Looks like he fits to me, guys. Come back with our plays of the day next.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All right, it's time for our plays of the day. Dun, 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 dun. Monday night football. Dun, 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 dun. And really, I guess unless you're a Miami Dolphin or a New England Patriot fan, like, how does this game not suck? But let's try to make it not suck by winning money on the football game, all right? Point spread is 10.5. I'm going to buy the half a point. I'll lay minus 125. I'm going to make it an even 10 points with the New England Patriots. The last 3 times that these two teams have played, including a couple of weeks ago, it went over 48.5. Total's 48.5. I'll buy a half point. I'll make that 48 as well. But the last 3 times they played, it has gone over the number. Let's go with a 7-point teaser. So we'll have the Patriots minus 3.5 over 41.5. Jarvis Landry. You know that Jarvis Landry's caught at least 5 balls in every game this season. He caught 8 passes the last time that they played. Dolphins going to be playing from behind. Give me Jarvis Landry over 5.5 receptions. Let's go long field goal over 45.5, a little NBA basketball. Give me the Pelicans, man, plus 13 points. Yeah, I know the Rockets are smoking hot right now, but it's a lot of points. Pelicans are offensively killing it, too, so let's go Pelicans and Rockets over 226. Love the Drake, man. Give me the Drake. Love me some Drake. Drake plus 20. Don't love it, but give me Drake plus 20. Texas Southern Oregon Ducks over 158, and give me the Washington Capitals plus 105. Other than that, you're on your own. May the winners be yours.